Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
347-637-3942. That's the number for the radio show tonight. We're simulcasting with the video and showing on Facebook, and it's going to go to the Next Gen Network. Also, it's going to show up in other places and all around the world. Welcome. I hope everybody escaped the snow tundra. Last week, it was incredible. I've never seen snow or weather that cold so early. And at the same time, next week, it's going to be in the 50s or tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. So we're going to go up. It's going to be crazy. I've never seen this kind of weather this early in the winter. Usually, it's like springtime. So I think the title of the show, let me check real quick. We're going to talk about unnecessary government intervention in our lives. It's not really a political show. This is actually nothing more than common sense. So, and I've got some videos to show tonight, and I'm going to bring our guests on here. First is Mr. Bill Muckler. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's good to always have you on. I like to have accomplished man of industry business on board. Also, we're going to have Dr. Andrew Knight. He's an author as well, and a very talented man, very detailed books. He writes like huge, gigantic books on religion. And I think he just finished a show. You were on a national radio program for a little bit, I understand. So I think that was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And now you're pursuing you're another doctorate degree, I believe.
I'm 8 years through waiting, accepted the Oxford, my PhD.
Awesome. That's pretty impressive. We have other guests coming on later, but first I want to get let's dive into this. So government intervention. Let me tell you, or show you guys a little movie. Let's see here. Control. Let's take care of this. I have somebody here that needs some help. Just a second. Let me get this link here. So this link, this is multitasking here with my producer on the other side of the wall here. So I'm going to do this little invite. So you're seeing how the sausage is made tonight. So it's all right. You survive. Nobody's watching.
All right.
So... Yes, yes. We are going to bring in another guest on as I go. Here we go. Here we go. Link, should we get on? And so what we're going to do, we're going to share this video. First, we're going to start with that. Can you hear me? Everybody hear me? I think you're one of our... Okay. Okay. I think Dr. Knight's video is freezing a little bit. Okay, let's take it back. So we also have Mr. Stephen Corrigan from Cincinnati. He's audio right now, and I think he might be off right now. So sometimes you have to do a little bit. Okay, here we go. So what we're going to do is talk about things that our government, it doesn't have to be federal, it's state as well, how they interfere with things you have. So one of the things I want to talk about is you talk about food, the health department in every city controls I have a video here to show that, controls what we eat, and they inspect our foods in our restaurants alike. My argument is this: we don't need them. I know it sounds a little off the wall. It sounds like something, you know, some crazy person would say, but I think I have a good thing. So let's watch this presentation real quick. Let's see, video file. We're going to go to desktop. Okay, here we go. We're going to watch this little thing. Please. Okay, here we go. Hello? Okay, I think that's enough. Here we have a bad echo here. But you got the point. You got the drift. You guys got the drift of what was going on, right? So here's what my problem is with city inspectors. As soon as you leave that restaurant, they go back to what they were doing when they know inspection is coming. I don't know if it's sometimes they're planned, sometimes they're not. If you really care about your customers, you serve everything clean. And this is one of the things I learned years ago. People will not let you get sick. Honest people and decent people, you'll get sick anywhere, whether you have an inspection or not. Is this really the answer? Because you should do all this stuff they're doing all the time if you really care for your customers and you want to come back. So why is the government involved in the safety of our food? Because if you get something out there that makes people sick, then your business is going to go under. And I've seen that before. There's a lot of problems. You know, every time they did inspections, doesn't mean they're going to pass. And if they do pass, how good are they good for? What's your opinion, Mr. Buckler?
Well, I can recall when I grew up in that restaurant in St. Louis, Missouri, they would have stickers on the window, 18 feet. So an 8-sticker, this was a real good place, you know, very sanitary. People was not so good. People was bad. And if you got less than three, they shut you down. So I guess I'm kind of torn between I abhor the government regulation and intrusion in our lives, but then I don't know if I can trust everyone to play, you know, keep everybody as safe and healthy as they could.
I understand what you're saying. I totally get it. I know from experience, if you want people to come to your restaurant, you're going to make it safe all the time, right? But I totally get what you're saying if they have labels on it. So the people that have the bad labels are the ones that are going to suffer. But at the same time, you can't trust anybody. It comes down to the person that's serving, the person that's cooking. You know, that's the whole thing. People that don't have integrity are not going to follow the rules. Or you can't control the people in the kitchen. I know they have to go by rules and everything, but that is a good point. If they have that system, I've never seen that before. That is interesting. Mr. Knight, bye.
Mm-hmm. And the USDA usually has inspectors there full time. And the USDA can set down a food processing plant anytime they want. They can shut them down and people shut down for a while. So everybody in business has to, you know, be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we need to run, we need to operate in a safe and healthy manner. But I guess what you're saying is this, if the USDA walked away for a day, what would happen? Would they go back to, you know, not caring about the sanitation and the health of the, and I guess, the safety of the product that they're putting out as far as the health is concerned?
I'm not necessarily saying that. What I'm saying is that's a whole other scale. This is a local restaurant. This is really what they're targeting. So I think what's going on, the people at the restaurant, you can't put people at every restaurant. That's the thing. But you do your local checks, do your occasional things, and you're looking at, you know, how they're putting a product out. But it would be almost impossible to check them every day. But my point is, if you have a good product and you care about your customers, then you're going to make sure that food is good. And do you need a government agency looking at you and going by their rules? So every rule they change, you got to go by in the restaurant. That's the thing. I mean, they're controlling how you cook the food. So you can do the same thing yourself. You can do the temperature checks and everything if you really care. I remember this when I was overseas. Everybody got sick on the base, but nobody got sick off the base. If anybody did get hurt, so, and that was a huge deal. You know, you knew, because you know it's all about the customer service. And I think maybe that's what we're missing here. If you know what I mean, I think the customer service is out of this. And it's not a factor. It's like, we don't trust anybody in any restaurant in town. So we're going to go look at all, we're going to test them all the time. Well, you can test all you want. You know what happens if you clean. Is it really effective? Because I know they do surprise inspections, and they found a lot of freezers that are under temperature and everything. But it's not safe to eat there, maybe, or somebody. You don't know what people do with the food. So you take a chance. But usually you have people with integrity don't have this problem. Dr. Knight, what's your opinion?
Well, the only thing I can say, experience in my teenage years working in restaurants, I do remember on occasion the state coming around doing inspection, and that is, you know, there was always friction between free enterprise and government. There always has been, there always will be. That's very telling what you mentioned, your experience on base overseas. Everybody got sick, you go off base and the food is fine. What does that tell you? The government.
That was the government, too.
Running the business, running the base, that was, and they were getting sick. Definitely. People on base that didn't care about their own customers, if you will.
Right.
So it's very unfortunate.
Yes, it is. It is. But, you know, if we took that system that Mr. Mucker is talking about, I think that would be ideal. I think if I ever saw that, that would shut down. Actually, that would shut down the businesses. It would give less business to them. That's a really good idea. I like that. So if you don't perform, you go away. Yes.
I absolutely agree with that. I do happen to also agree that people don't do what's expected, they do what's inspected. So
right.
I guess there's a little bit of cults that are probably appropriate. But if you were to ask me about this transportation, Department of Transportation, Department of Education, or
right.
the IRS, boy, that would be easier to slice and dice those up.
Right. Hey, you just said the magic phrase of the day. They do what's expected, but they do what's inspected. That is so true. They know everything is going to be inspected, and that's what you keep up on. And that's the other trick to get around it. So, I mean, you can take stuff, resize stuff or inspections, okay? I mean, that's what we did. Things that weren't right. So, anyway, okay, we can move to the next subject if you like. And, or if you want to talk about this some more, we can. Because this kind of goes in with the driver's license. Every year, you have to get your license renewed or your ID card. And it's probably, I don't know what it's in your state, Florida. Both of you are from Florida. I don't know what it is. How much does that cost usually?
I think it's like $100, maybe $50 or something.
Okay. So
every several years. I don't even know. I think it may be every 4 years.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Is that for your license tag or is it for your license itself?
My driver's license.
Okay. Yeah, they changed that for us too. It was every year. I'm in Ohio. Yes.
I know you're in Ohio.
Same as you. Florida.
Same as me. Well, in Florida, the driver's license are issued for 6 years.
Okay.
And they used to be $20, but they fallen off the last time. I think it was 25 maybe. But you're talking about license plate registration. We can opt for either 1 year or 2 years. And,
yeah.
My vehicle is around $90, 2 years around
$180. So. Yeah, the thing is, same here. We can do ours. I think ours is like $60, but you can do it 2 years for $120, which is the same thing. It's really no difference. It's a yearly thing. But how can you pay more for your license tag for 2 years? It's the same, but you're still paying it every year, theoretically. And what changes between the 1 year to the next is money for them to operate. Is that how they operate? What's their budget? Have you heard about anything like this? Or are we financing our bureau? Or are they budgeted by their county or by the state? So that's a hybrid kind of thing. Is that they rely on us to make them run?
Right.
Yes. Right. So, Dr. Knight, here's the thing. I get my tag, put it on my car, and the other factor is this generates money for the police department as well. Because all those people who miss the tags, that revenue is going, I don't know, it's kind of weird because they're also funded. So all these fines, the speeding tickets, the speed traps, everything is working against the people who use those conveniences. I just don't know why you can't just have like a big blanket. this is good for 5 years? Or why pay at all when they're funded by the state? We have the lottery to have all kinds of money at the state level. Why are we paying for a privilege to draw?
Well,
counties in Ohio that actually have the, you know, the, what do you call it, the test for the cars, set of inspections, yeah, that's what it was. They're gone from this area, but they used to be everywhere, and that was like new cars. It didn't matter what the car was. So.
Yeah, that's the way it was in Connecticut. They have excise tax every year you're paying $700 in excise tax and $500 or more every single year, and then you have to have your car inspected. It could be a brand new car. You could be a 3-year lease, and you're always driving a 3-year or a newer vehicle, and you're constantly getting inspected every year. It's insane. And to your point, that's the only thing that's annoying to me. If it's just, you know, it's like toll booths. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen, because without the toll booths, you wouldn't have to have to pay for all those salaries, all the toll takers. So what's the point of the toll booths?
Making some money, yeah. That's what it's for. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't even know we don't even know what the budget is. I haven't looked into this. I don't know if any of you have, what's your state budget and how much we have for roads and everything. And I get a lot of federal funding for that, so I'm not really sure. And I know that's a good point brought up, that we have to fund these other things. I don't know. I think
we have an $8 billion rainy day fund in Florida.
Really?
So I don't know why we have tolls at all.
It's like,
can I get in on this conversation of tolls in Florida? We have not one toll agency or in Florida. We have 7 different toll agencies. And if you, for example, one time I was driving through Orlando, which is a toll road, and for whatever reason, my transponder didn't work for one point where I went through, but worked for the next one. Well, what they did is they sent me a bill, and I said, but I have an account, I have money in my account. They said, yes, but that's for SunPass, and this is for a different one. And so I actually had to write them a check and mail a check in for like $4.35 or whatever it was some small amount to cover the tolls that my transponder didn't respond to as I went through. So anyway, I asked, why can't you just take it out from my account, because I keep a minimum of $25 in my account? And they said, that's when I learned about the 7 different toll agencies in the state of Florida, and I'm thinking, So we need this much regulation to for us to be able to function in our normal everyday lives. I think that's the question you're asking, Kevin. Is do we need the government to regulate us as much as they are?
Right, because if you notice, you go to school to drive, you go to driving school, and you learn all that, and you graduate, and you still got to go take a test. So, I mean, you've been driving the car. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. But we're going to move on. I have a let me take this off here. Here's another thing. This is up for the airlines, for Southwest Airlines here. The government is going after them for canceled flights. I'm going to play this video. I'm getting good at this now. I think. There we go. So we go to the desktop here. Okay, here we go. So first, we're going to talk about the shortage, okay? There's a pilot shortage, and we're going to talk why. So here we go.
Hang on. Flying somewhere this summer? More cancellations are possible in the days ahead.
JetBlue says it's trimming flights by 10% because of staffing issues.
Delays and cancellations have spiked because the country faces the growing pilot shortage. A pilot shortage? A shortage of more than 12,000 pilots? That's surprising. Flying's a popular job.
You know you were born to be a pilot.
Look, you're flying. So why aren't there enough pilots? Because government got involved.
Congress passed the Airline Safety and Federal Aviation Administration Extension Act.
The Safety and Federal Aviation Administration Act was passed because of this plane crash.
Significant ice buildup on the windshield and on the front edge of the wings. Moments later, this from the tower.
This aircraft was 5 miles out. Facility has no response to that aircraft.
The plane crashed into a house near Buffalo.
All 49 people on board and one in the house were killed.
Pilot error was said to be the cause. So Congress demanded that all pilots must get much more flight time before they are hired. Instead of 250 hours, now they must get 1,500 hours.
That never made any sense.
Ooh, pilot Tracy Price points out that requiring 1,500 hours wouldn't have stopped the Buffalo crash. The pilots who crashed that plane, they had many more hours.
Absolutely.
The pilot had more than 3,000 hours, and the co-pilot more than 2,000. If they were unqualified, it was for other reasons. The pilot had failed some flying tests, and fatigue may have been a factor, but that didn't matter to the politicians.
Flight 3407 taught us that we need to improve pilot training.
But requiring more pre-training flight time doesn't improve that. 250 hours to 1,500 hours is quite a jump.
That's a huge jump. It had the effect of pulling up the ladder.
Suddenly, fewer people wanted to be pilots. You had the time or money to get 1,500 hours in the air before they could even apply. The number of certified pilots fell even as flight demand increased. Of course, the pilot union liked that.
The unions liked it because it creates fewer applicants. And fewer applicants means higher pay.
This rule is good for you.
Great. Yeah, for professional pilots, it's been wonderful. If you believe in freedom, that's good admission.
The union blamed the shortage of pilots on poor pay at regional airlines. Some of these regional airlines were paying pilots as little as $21,000 a year.
And there was no shortage of applicants. There were plenty of people who were willing to take fairly low pay and live with roommates for a year or two to gain that really valuable jet experience.
At the same moment, the left engine failed. Today, pilots get most of their training in simulators like this one.
This is far more than a sophisticated video game.
The simulators give them experience much more useful than 1,500 unsupervised hours of hobby flying. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we're done with that. Okay. Now you see, it's not the first time they talked about having pilot shortages. If you remember, it was the last summer. Southwest on strike because, probably for the vaccine, I can't remember what for, if you guys remember. So you see what the government did there they totally messed up the pilot supply, and that's why there's a lot of military pilots flying right now that have all, they have all the experience, they have all the ratings to get right into the airlines, and that, we're seeing that a lot too. They have the opportunities. This is how, this is Congress taking over industry, which they have no business doing. I can't believe they passed laws. This is what I don't like about Congress. They pass laws without thinking things through. And this is the result of it. And Southwest Airlines is under attack from the Department of Transportation. Your friend of mine, Mr. Buttigieg, and they're thinking of ways they can get Southwest to get these planes back in the sky. But my opinion is none of his business. It's none of the Department of Transportation. They have nothing to do with the airlines. The little thing about these airlines is they don't want any planes to be grounded because it costs them a lot of money per flight, like $5,000 a flight in this, or more than that. So this is not anything they're doing on purpose. This is a different thing. But how can government get involved with this and question their business operations? And trust me, it's not an easy thing. It's so logistically heavy. I used to work for an airline. It's crazy out there. But they assume everybody's supposed to be flying these planes. So what's your take on that? Let's go with Dr. Knight first.
First of all, the Buttigieg is just trying to justify his existence because he hasn't done a darn thing since he's been in office except nurse his twin babies.
Right.
Okay. And go on. What do they call it? Maternity leave. A male going on maternity leave. I mean, this guy is. If I could use a nice pilot terminology, this guy Peter Buttigieg is a waste of gravity. All right. So he has no business. He shouldn't even be in office. He has no idea what day of the week it is. But relative to the Congress has done this the whole history of our country.
Right.
If you recall, when our country was really young, they made a law that in order to develop land or settle land in the West, that they should clear of all the bison. Or make bison available to hunt or whatever, and they overhunted them, and it's only been in recent years where the herds of bison have come back to sustainable levels. So talk about, you know, it's only been a 200-year turnaround to correct mistake that Congress made a couple hundred years ago. You know, in relative to bison, and you know, so bison herds. So this is what Congress does. They get involved in things they have no idea what the heck they're doing or saying, and then they just, it's like a drive-by shooting. They just move on to the next victim. They have no idea what they're doing most of the time. No idea.
And they just keep moving on with the next thing. Right.
They just move on to their next victim.
Does
Peter Buttigieg really know anything about anything? He can't fix the roads in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Absolutely. Mr. Buckler, what's your take on this?
Well, as far as Mayor Peter's concerned, he was on paternity leave.
Paternity, excuse me.
Maybe probably one of the most competent members of Joe Biden's cabinet. But if you look at some of the tools that we see that he has in the various positions, I mean, these people are really lacking in just about everything you can imagine. Let's talk about Congress, though. Doctors saying that the Congress doesn't know what they're doing. Congress does not, the congressmen themselves, the 435, they do not read any of the bills that they vote on and pass. What they do, they've got like a system whereby if somebody from Alaska wants a road built, they get lobbyists to write up the bill. Then they go around and they get 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 of their fellow Congress people to sign on to that bill by saying, if you sign on to my bill, I will sign on to your next bill. This is the way it works. This is the absolute truth about how all this is. None of them read any of the bills. Now, do you remember Nancy Pelosi said you have to pass the bill before we can you can know what's in it? Think about 2,000 and 4,000 pages long. Who can read 2,000 pages in 2 or 3 days? It's impossible. You can't do that. And if you ever read any of these bills, they're all written in such a way in certain government legalese that there's no way you can possibly understand what they say unless you sit and spend hours reading each paragraph and trying to dissect it. And most of the paragraphs in there, in the text, will refer to something, to another bill or another document or something like that. So really, some of these documents that they're passing, bills they're passing, they're, say, 1,000 pages long. If you took all the references to them, it might be 10,000 pages. Well, no one in Congress is writing that, and nobody has a staff that can write that much. So where is it coming from? It's coming from the lobbyists who write these bills. They write them up. They give them to the congressman. They say, we will give your campaign so many dollars if you will go ahead and sponsor this bill and get some of your brothers and sisters to sign on to it. That's how the whole thing works. No one has any idea what's going on in Congress. But I can tell you one thing for sure. When I wrote my book, my first book a few years ago, mean earnings for American income was about $50,000. Each person that makes $50,000 a year pays out about $6,000 a year for government regulations. Now, if you're making more money, you may pay a little more. If you're making less money, you may pay a little less. Unfortunately, most of the things that affect the lower-income wage earners have a much greater impact on them than the higher wage earners. For example, we were talking earlier about food. When you talk about food is probably a much higher percentage of a low-income wage earner's annual average income than is of a person who's making $100,000 to $500,000 a year. Food is a very minor, is a very small percentage of their income. So anyway, we're getting back to Congress. The system we have in Congress is dysfunctional. There's no other way about it.
Yep.
It doesn't work. And now what we do is we have Congress people who come in, they're voted in, and the very first day they do two things. They come in and they start preparing their speeches, and then they start their fundraising to get to get elected in the next term. It's just as simple as that. They're there as career politicians, and they've got it set up so they make $174,500 a year, and they get that for life once they're in there. So they want to stay in there. So look at all these congressmen and senators who go in broke and come out millionaires. How does
yes,
that happen?
Right.
How does that happen? Coming from the lobbyists and campaign donors who threw it under the table.
Absolutely. Yes. It is very corrupt. I want to know who actually thought about, was it the unions that got to that specific piece of legislation for the pilot training? Because it says it benefits the union. And is that more important than the safety of people and the number of pilots, the pilot shortage? I think they put their wants over top of the needs of the people. So this is why we're having these problems now, as you saw in the video.
I'm not sure
whoever was involved in writing the proposed legislation were lobbyists. There was probably unions. It could have been anybody. Whoever has the first draft
pilot
information, that's who should have been. It could have been anybody. Here's an example. When we first started income tax back in 1913, it was supposed to be a four-page document. Now it's 87,000 pages. Who in the world knows what's in those 87,000 pages? Certainly not the IRS agents. How could anybody know everything that's in an 87,000 page employee manual? It's impossible. The other thing I found out in my book that kind of goes along with this, Kevin, and then I'll shut up. What I found out was there are more than 21 federal departments and agencies and et cetera, offices.
So we had 2100.
I had the 2100 was in the department for us to run our lives and operate as citizens. And no, we don't need it. And not every one of those 2100 affect us, each one of us individually, but they affect somebody. And we are definitely overregulated. There's no question about it. And most of those departments that are in the federal government are redundant in the state governments, and some of them even in the state and county governments.
It's kind of like OSHA and the airport. Right. So you got your state OSHA, you got your federal OSHA, then you got your local OSHA. It's all these are doing the same thing, trying to protect, but actually, yeah, they're overdone. I remember we used to have inspections in the Air Force. We had AFOSH and we had OSHA. You're doing the same thing. They're redundant.
Well, here's the other thing, and I know this from personal experience. They're working in a cement plant in Kansas, where the federal EPA and the state EPA were in there, and they were fighting amongst themselves over which regulations they wanted to enforce, and they were not on the same page. Let me say this. They were not even close to being on the same page together. And the plant manager, he's stuck in between, and he has to do whatever they tell him to do, or they'll shut him down, or they'll fine him, ungodly amounts of money.
And that's the other side of it is, they have too much power. You could advise. I'd rather sit with somebody advise than tell me what to do. Some things are so unclear, and like they're caught in the middle, of like you're saying, you have two different regulations, and I've seen that before. Well, it depends on who the inspector is, who shows up. How do you manage that when there's gravity behind it that could get you, shut down? That's the other threat. Everybody in the government, everybody can shut you down. Every industry in our country has a government agency, it seems like. They have regulations in Washington, D.C.
And they're all...
Right. Absolutely. Dr. Knight, what's your opinion on that?
I like what President Trump did. He would add one new regulation, and he would eliminate five.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was watching an interview with, they call him Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the name of the program. He's from Canada originally. He's kind of a balding guy. He's got, I think, 28 different companies that he owns.
Sure.
But he was interviewed one time about Trump's regulation policy, I guess that's a misnomer, but he would say how that was more important to eliminate redundant regulations and strangling regulations to free enterprise. That did more to free up the kind of the animal spirits of entrepreneurship than lowering taxes. And Mr. Wonderful said, oh, it was what Trump did was made the economy stronger and freer than in the 60s, which I don't remember. I remember this part of the 60s, a very big, small part of it, because I was born in 65. But he was saying the economy ran so well in the economic development in the wealth-producing economy was so strong in the 60s because the regulations were far more limited than they have been of late.
So, that brings me, I have this thing I want to share with you guys. In Bonn, Germany, like 15 years ago, they got rid of all the stoplights, and they lifted up to the drivers, and accidents went down because people took their own responsibility. When you have the guardrails all the time, when you have the guardrails, people don't make decisions, so you're on a track. You're just following, and sometimes you miss things, but this actually made things better because you have to make decisions. This is why a lot of things will relate to that, because when government gets away, things seem to run fine. We didn't have all these departments. We didn't have a Department of Education until, 1979. Our schools were going downhill. I think that was a Carter thing.
Carter, yeah.
And they added more bureaucracy on top of that. You got, I don't know how many people. I don't know if there's, so many thousands of people in that department in D.C. And what are they doing? Have nothing to do with your education of your children. It's all local. That should be local, in my opinion. I don't want to bring that up as a problem, but it is a problem. Then we have other elements getting into our schools and telling us, Swallow say, we don't need to educate our children that belongs to the schools. He actually said that recently. The schools belong to the parents. The parents pay for the schools. They belong on the school boards. I mean, this whole thing, they're turning into the federal type people. The most important election, in my opinion, is the school board, because what they're producing now. And same thing with the colleges. They have a lot, and I know you know all about that. Maybe not at the colleges you go to, but the colleges are probably the worst places to send your kids these days, the public schools. I graduated in 17, and everything's social justice. Things are not what they used to be when I went to college the first time. But that's all about different things that, the people, the average person doesn't know what goes on in their schools or in the colleges because they're not there. But I can tell you right now, it wasn't easy. It's not the academics, it's the mindset now. Yes, it's the mindset of college. And this is what they're teaching the kids. But I'm getting off schedule here, off chart. I have one more video to show you guys. And this is interesting. It's airline related. So I'm going to go get it right here. Let me get this here. Present. Let's present this video. Video file. It's getting easier now, so it'll work out. This is actually a TSA type thing. So here we go. We're going to show in.
Out of the airport because I couldn't, if I didn't subject myself to that level of screening, then I would have to be escorted out.
Well, I said-
offending police officer talked her into allowing them to search her.
She's recording right now.
She asked them to videotape the incident. Fry says she has heard from dozens of people who state they complained to the TSA after experiencing similar incidents, but today they were ignored. Only difference here, Angela Fry knows people. She already has a meeting set with the leadership at the TSA.
I was the Homeland Security Committee for 4 years. I wasn't thinking about this ignorantly. I know. There are some boundaries that they shouldn't cross, per se. Do you think the agent went too far? I don't know that I blame the agent. I blame the policy.
Recently, former Inside Edition producer Denise Albert faced a similar issue at security checkpoint. Albert was outraged when a TSA agent ignored her protest that she's recovering from breast cancer. As for I, she says she hopes her story will prompt changes.
The system is the problem, and we need to figure out how to make them safer without causing this type of alarm, fear, and humiliation of the nation's citizens. The TSA told us they investigated and concluded their security protocols were followed and are designed to prevent specific terrorist acts, but they say they regret the distress the process may have caused.
All right, who wants to go first?
Well, first of all, I'll say the Patriot Act was an elimination of an enormous amount of American rights, and it was all a con job since 9/11, and it was, I think 9/11 was an inside job, and then with one of the objectives was to take rights away from Americans, and they, needless to say, have succeeded. So, these are constitutional violations, not to mention people's inalienable rights not to be molested by strangers, by government employees. Just horrific. Horrific. And, I'm so sick of people hiding behind policy and hiding behind procedure. Oh, they're good people. Well, no, they're not. They're not good people. It's like, this talk about the people on the seventh floor of the FBI are bad people, but everyone below are good people. No, they're not good people. No, they're not. And people from every floor of the FBI are taking rights away from Americans on a regular basis and violating Americans' constitutional rights. So, I just don't buy this municipal rope-a-dope, what I call it.
So what's your opinion, Mr. Muckler? Welcome to the show, Rebel. Good to have you.
Yeah. Just got to listen.
Airline inspection, I believe it was 1973 because I started flying on a regular basis in 72, and I think that they started shortly thereafter, so it must have been around 1973 when they started the inspections of people and going through, passengers going through the checkpoints. Before that, anybody could go to a gate.
Right.
And,
you
could go to any place in the airport, you were free to do that. Once they started the inspection, then you had to have a ticket, a boarding pass in order to be able to get through, and that's now it's just become more amplified and exaggerated as we go along. They continue to make it more difficult for us to go through. I, for one, think that the TSA is a complete waste of time. I don't think that they're necessary. I think the airline should be responsible for whoever gets on their airplane. And if an airline, once their airplanes are crashed, they're going to let people get on the airplanes, they're going to crash the airplanes. And if they don't want them to crash, They're not going to let those people on. Let the airlines decide how they want to do it and how they want to keep their planes safe and get the government out of it.
It's funny you mentioned that. We'll get to you, Ms. Rebel. But I used to work as a screener in college, and we were hired by the airlines, just like you said, and we respected people. We didn't pat them down like they do unless they had a problem. There had to be a serious problem for you to do anything like that. There was no random search. We worked with the FAA, and we had, you know, the power to shut down. I caught a guy with a gun once, and we shut down the whole terminal, the concourse. But we did our job effectively because that's what we had to keep the customer happy. We had to take the enemies off the planes. And this is a different thing. Now everybody's an enemy. Everybody's your friend in my world when I did this. Everybody's your enemy now. Everybody's suspicious when I go through the TSA. Hey, I don't like the TSA at all. I think they're not paid enough, number one. If they're going to be really good at this job, I mean, they're not paid well. I mean, they have very low scale. And that's a recipe for disaster sometimes. This is the security of the airport we're talking about. This is like the lowest bidder kind of thing, but they're federal employees and they're unfireable kind of people. You know what I mean? They don't have to be nice to you. They have no reason to satisfy the customer, which is not their customer. So, Rebel, could you like... say anything you want to talk about this?
You're talking about the TSA. I don't know. I don't have a background in any kind of flight security administration. But there was a question that was raised at one time if the TSA is even a constitutional organization. As far as that, because, you know, they're federal security, basically, and from what I can gather is that they I wouldn't say all of them. I'm not going to put everybody
Correct.
In the same boat.
Absolutely.
Some of them, you know, extend their powers beyond what they should, and, I mean, back when they were having can't think of the name of it now. The machines that you walk through and they show everything you got. Scanners like X-ray machines. There was a big controversy about that when that first came out. And, you know, who could see what. And I really don't. I think the TSA has, if they would probably stick to securing. Securing planes and stuff of that nature and leaving the passengers alone, I think that would be a better idea. But, as far as we still need security at the airports, because if we don't have it, we're still going to get hit with, any kind of religious group that could come along and want to do damage to us. So,
hey, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I work for the airline, the TSA comes to the aircraft to inspect planes. Did you know that? How did they get that far off? So they're growing little by little. Their tendrils are going out, and they're going to get into everything at the airport. So, they have no... Yeah, right, exactly.
I used to fly a lot. When I was an administrator for Owens Corning, I was a network administrator for Owens Corning. I used to fly around with family from... Miami to Dallas, and then from Dallas, sometimes over to Atlanta, Georgia, and then back to Waco, Texas, and then up to Elkhart. So I was constantly flying. And I didn't really ever have any problems with it, but that was, way before we started with a lot of this stuff where you had to walk through the machines and take an x-ray and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
I had zero problems. The only problems that I had was my credit cards would get wiped out.
Really? Wow, that's crazy. So that tells you a lot. That's pretty scary, that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So who knows what kind of power is in that? those X-ray machines, because they actually detect on my left leg, they detect I have something there every single time, and I don't. So I don't know what that is.
I'm
going to
say bye, everybody.
Okay, well, thank you.
Good night.
All right, thank you very much for coming on. Okay, yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Happy New Year to everyone.
All right, you too. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So, yeah, this is interesting because I had my own, oops, you there? You're still there. I have had my own run-in with TSA, and while I was on a military trip, we were chasing a plane, and we diverted to another base in Nebraska, from Texas to Nebraska. Here we are. We have to change tickets. So we were flagged as terrorists, possible terrorists. So we have, like, we're on borders. We're here on military business. This is what we're doing. And the guys were, like, very suspicious of us. So they took me to a back room. They separated all of us. So they looked through everything I had. They took everything out of my carry-on bag. And they questioned things they didn't understand. And one of them was just a load light. You know what that is.
Yeah.
And I said, it's a light bulb with two wires. It's a light bulb and two wires. The guy wouldn't accept it. He's like, oh, no, I don't know. I was like, here. I used to do this job, and I was really nice to the people I talked to. I said, I don't need this. I can make another one when I get there. I'm going to throw this away, okay? Are you going to be happy if I do it? And then he let me go. He's like, this is not how you treat people. That's what I told him. You don't treat people like this. They have so much power now. And a lot of it goes
to power. They have. I agree with that 100%.
And what kind of, right. And, like, people complain about the X-ray machines. They're right. They're looking at a metal detector, right? Or something. So why do we have to go to those extremes to figure out if you have something?
Metallic powders, you want to detect metal, things of that nature. You don't need an X-ray machine to do any of that. I mean, drug smugglers, I believe they don't, they use what they call, guinea pigs or something. They fill them full of balloons and swallow them and send them across the border.
Right, I did hear about that. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I'm not going to detect much of that. The way things are getting, it's just a matter of time before, we're going to have somebody in a wallet, somebody in a TV that's telling us what to do, somebody in a house that's directing us on what room to go to, and if it's okay to go to that room, somebody in our basement to tell us how much fuel we can use to heat our home with, and somebody in an electric system that tells us how long. It's going to be so controlled if we keep going down this road that, it's like, you can be raised in if you were raised from a child in a foreign country, you can be taught to hate Jews very easily because of your upbringing. And you wouldn't even know it, You look at it like, well, you're just supposed to hate Jews. You really don't know why you hate Jews or anything, but you just hate Jews. And, anything that you can think about a Jew having more money than you or it's got more power than you, whatever reason they used to hate them as they were growing up, they were incubated into that culture. I think that our coming generation is going to be incubated into a culture that, is totally corrupt.
Right.
And totally, invasive as far as our privacy goes. Sooner or later it's going to be like, okay, it's not going to put TikTok on your phone. Use it even though that the Chinese government is looking into it and using the information. And they could use it for whatever reason that they want to, even though there's not exactly any kind of terms and conditions there that they're going to actually abide by. But what I'm saying is really is like, you know, if we don't start to turn this system around, it's going to start incubating our children in schools that they're going to here in America. It's going to be a really bad situation in 20 years, you know?
I agree.
They're going to see the freedoms, that we've had, you know?
It's like those people in China that you saw a few weeks ago jumping out of buildings at the lockdown. Did you see that? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
It's just like it doesn't even register. It's like, oh, that can't be real. You know?
They were starving those people. They wouldn't let them out of the building in the name of safety and COVID, you know, protection. It's the, you know, it's, people go that far. Humans can go that far. That's what's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about it time after time, too, you know. Like, I would never pull off a military exercise that I thought, like, was going to be detrimental to an American person.
Right, exactly.
So, but, yeah, you know, they will find people that will do that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't, even though you won't,
right.
They will find somebody that will do it, you know. Even if they have to bring in the blue hats from, you know, another country.
Exactly. Yes, they will. But there's more of us than them, so that's what they always say, right? There's more of us than them. But not everybody has that courage to do that, so you got
to
take care of yourself. Right. This is our security blanket. We can't let this go. We need this. They're giving us bread and water every day.
That's right.
Right. It's like a little puppy. He knows where, you know, he knows where to go. He knows what to do. You get to eat the banana, whatever. So we're just little monkeys of the future, because that's what's going to happen. You know, that could happen. And the way this is going, where we're going to be submitting everything to the WHO in the New World Order stuff that they keep talking about, digital currency, they're going to control everything you have. Unless you can survive in the backwoods of Michigan. Red Dawn.
You know, we've got to make these voting systems still work for us. I mean, these Dominion systems that are still into place are not...
Yes. And that's our problem, yeah. You're right.
I was watching on the... there was an interview with a lady. She wasn't the Arizona lady. It was another lady from another city. I can't remember. I think it was Massachusetts somewhere. But they were talking about what we did wrong in the past three elections. She didn't mention any vulnerabilities, didn't mention any
mm-hmm.
fraud or anything
right.
like that. It's just what we did wrong. The focus we had
right.
was wrong.
Yeah.
And when I'm thinking to myself, come on, you can't be serious. I mean, when you can take a presidential candidate and, you know, basically keep him away from the public because you don't know what he's going to say next. You want to keep him in the basement. And then he gets 80 million some votes. I don't get it. You know, 80 million votes. And, you know, that's more of the votes than Obama. You know, Obama was at least a president that knew what he was doing, you know.
Right.
And he actually probably did a lot of the votes, you know, for that time. You know, they got to straighten these machines out or else we're really never going to have a fair, balanced election. It's just not going to happen.
I agree. And it's usually certain states that are doing this, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, because Ohio doesn't seem to have a problem with it. And they actually give you a choice of either a digital or paper ballot in Ohio. Which I think is great. But I know Michigan, maybe not so much. You got Detroit there.
Yeah.
And they're like it's one of the top five
yeah.
of that kind of culture.
You notice the larger cities are actually predicting the outcome of the elections.
Yes, right.
You know, so you got L.A., you got New York, you got Detroit, Chicago. I mean, what is it? Like, And they're pretty much just, you know, dictating who's going to be the next president. And, of course, it's a selection, not an election. But,
right.
We're getting to a point where it's getting really, really sad. Now, I don't know why no one ever speaks about it. It's an issue that I find right in front of your eyes. Like, when they shut the election down at 11:30 at night and didn't reopen the election until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yes.
And then they blame Bill some busted water pipes, and then that turned out to be some sort of lie.
Right.
You know? But nobody ever goes there. Nobody ever talks about it. We just hush up. Our eyes blaze up on that one.
Yeah, they're caught right-handed, and what did they do? Nothing. They have it on video. Nothing happened.
Yeah, I'm tired of the Republicans, too. I mean, that's
right. Exactly.
Just sit there and let it happen. So it's like, you know, maybe I should just back off and, you know, because I'll revert back to the Bible and say, okay, everything's going to happen for the worst. Nothing's going to get better, you know.
Destiny or nothing to see here kind of thing. Everybody's in on it, though. That's the thing. I'm sure there's a lot of Republicans in on it, too. So,
I think it's the money, too, because look at how much money we've been printing.
Yeah.
Look at how much value it's lost. You can tell the value it's lost by looking at your gas pump or your utility bills and all that kind of thing. When the dollar, it's not really that all these things went up, it's that the dollar went down.
Yes, right.
So it takes more dollars to buy what we normally had. You know, it's like, my dog food and all my dogs, it went up like $12.
Wow.
I was buying a $29 bag, now it's a $42 bag, you know.
Whoa. It's like irresponsibility, but we're giving billions to Ukraine for a war they could never win. They could never win that war. There's no way.
I believe that's just a money laundering.
It is. It is. We know that already with FTX. That's FTX related, yeah. This is all to fund the Democrat elections, and, they got caught. They got caught. And so they're not talking about it too much anymore. And they're trying to protect that guy. I can't remember his name. SBS. Yeah. They're trying to protect him because they're in it. They're in it all the way. So this is the distraction. So we'll see what happens in the future. I guess it's a Trump. He's got no money. He's broke. But he's got on a $250 million bond. So where's the $25 million come from?
Yeah.
It's coming from the people at the top.
The same people that bail out those rioters that
yes, right.
In Seattle, I think it was.
Antifa? Antifa.
Yeah, Antifa. Same people that burned down all that stuff and bailed them out.
Yeah, the 164 are in jail. So.
Yeah, the DNC.
There's no confusion. Yeah, like we were talking about these, I don't know if you listened to the earlier, but we were talking about how all these laws go to Congress. And we were talking actually about how Southwest Airlines is being investigated by the Department of Transportation, which they have nothing to do with Southwest Airlines. I mean, it's a government. The Department of Transportation has nothing to do with the operation of a civilian business, the airlines. They might have regulations, but you can't. They're wondering why they're not flying. They have a pilot shortage again. So they're just so invasive. And then Congress talks about, we're going to look into this. That's not your job. This is for so far out of where we're supposed to be as national citizens. We're so far removed from reality now. So everybody thinks the Supreme Court makes the laws. That's what people think. Oh, they make a decision. And then they go, and then they, that's it then. No, it doesn't work that way. Where's your rights? Why does it take?
It's the same, it's the same thing with executive orders. I mean,
If you want to go to the Supreme Court, you got to wait how many months? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, a whole year? Well, how effective are they? Because Right. We're putting all our hope on that court when that's not where it belongs. It's in our Constitution. The Constitution is for the people, not for the government. So, I don't know. I don't understand how far we've fallen from where we were. Not everybody knows. They don't live by the Constitution. It's just like, you know, like the silver hammer in California at Pelosi's house. They have the police telling the news that nothing to see here. The police are doing what they want them to do. That's very scary. And you see this other places. And people are learning the narrative. This is what the story is. This is the official narrative. You better stick with it or else. It's so corrupt. All the news channels, you see this in the media all the time. It's the same story everywhere. Trump is bad. I don't think Trump's around again. I like what he did.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere you turn, Trump is bad. I hate even opening up my Microsoft browser, Edge, because the first thing I see is Trump did wrong.
Right.
It's like something Trump did bad or something Trump did wrong or, you know, he stiffed this person or
right.
It's just crazy, you know.
Yeah, and it's getting to the point where, you know, this is the third time they got him, okay? This one is the last. This is the one that we're going to get him on. You know, people are tired of that. Why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time? And yet, that's not even your lane. You're going to refer him to the FBI for what? You have nothing. This makes them look worse. But, again, they're going to go and vote for whoever. So you got... just like in Arizona, you have Katie Hobbs, who is the election official. Secretary of State did not recuse herself, and nobody said anything. You know, she approved the election. She signed it off. That's the ultimate, but it's a religion. I'm sure you believe that it's a religion for some people. You got to get this new world. You got to get all this stuff through. So that the plan can work, the master plan. It doesn't care. They don't care what the people think. That's what makes me upset. I don't care what plan you have for the New World Order or Klaus Schwab. It has nothing to do with me. You can think about what you want, Mr. Gates. Okay? That's not me. We don't want to do that. We're not going along with your plan. I think this is going to turn ugly. Hopefully not, but when the blue hats start showing up, that's going to tell you everything. Some people say it already here, but I don't know.
It's going to change everything. I know that. I'm not going to, you know, abide by anything of that nature as far as, you know, you don't really know what you'll do until the time comes, you know, but bringing a new world order or something of that nature or blue hats or anything like that, trying to change your way of life. There's not, I mean, there's got to be millions of people that are going to say no to that, you know?
Absolutely.
Maybe that's why they have to be in those, what do they call the camps? What kind of camp? Re-education camps.
Yes, right.
Re-education camps. They're waiting for us.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that is so true because, you know, you see that in all these movies. We will re-educate you. You need to go to, we're going to send you to camp, and you need to learn, you know, the compliance and all that. So,
what's the
thing?
Yeah. It's the same thing they did to the Indians.
Yes.
You know, they destroyed their land. They took their land from them. They basically didn't care whether they lived or died. They just wanted them to move, so they moved them. They didn't care whether they won in court or not. You know, like, who's the guy, the president of the $20 bill, Jackson?
Yeah.
You know, he said, okay, so now you've won your day in court. Now let's try to enforce it.
Yes.
And he still did it. Yeah, you know,
right.
He still took him on the Trail of Tears. You know, didn't stop nothing.
Yeah, he was pretty vicious. He was a vicious guy to the Indians. Yeah, I remember reading about that. He was not a hero at all.
No, he wasn't. No, but he's still on a $20 bill.
Yeah, right. But speaking of, I have to say this. cancel culture has gotten rid of all the black characters. Thomas, no, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben, you're gone. And it got rid of the Indians on all these teams. Cleveland Indians,
Redskins,
but what about the Chiefs? They're still around. Are they going to stop that too? How far do you go? This is like Orwell. This is Orwell, 1984. It's the same thing. This is, now this is our enemy, now this is not. It's just, they're changing things, making it seem normal. So now we got all these weird cereal boxes and everything. So, yeah. So this is my problem. They have gotten rid of blacks and Indians by magic, by making people happy. And they're claiming that the black people and the Indians are upset because they're on the boxes. What kind of sense does that make? Nobody said anything from all the way from the 60s to now. Nobody said a word. They've been around that long. It's opportunity. Opportunity, that's what it is. Unfortunately,
it's not really a free America.
Right.
If you're Clinton, you can say it. You're free. If you're a Rockefeller, you can say maybe you're free. I believe really they look at us a lot differently than we think they do. They're supposed to be the ones that are representing us and working for us, but I really truly believe that they believe that we're just expendable.
Yeah, you're right.
Expendable pawns in a game that rich people play,
Right.
And when they took down, when they tell you, here, grab this app, Robinhood, you can invest in what you want. And
yeah.
If you invest in GameStop,
yeah.
There shouldn't be an app with the authority to stop people from investing in the GameStop.
GameStop,
because it's going up so fast.
Right.
And they did that. They totally rip people off by doing that.
They don't care about.
There's so many times that's happening. It's like, we're really just, third-class, third-world citizens to the government, the people that are in government, because I don't really think they care about us.
They don't.
You got politicians right now that are okay with castrating 12-year-olds.
Right.
And telling them that, it's okay, they're 12 years old, they can make up their mind whether or not they want to be a boy or a girl.
Choices.
Something of that nature. You've got politicians that are actually, and people from Harvard that are saying that that's okay. You got people, really? It's an insane world, man, that we're living in. And we're just, I just can't believe some of the things that are,
Yeah, it's everything is twisted. There's nothing normal anymore. There's always something at the other end that you don't expect. Like, the government has roadblocks. Like, we talked about the TSA. Government has roadblocks prepared for us. And they don't care what you think about us. Your rights don't matter. And this is what we see every day. This is just like you said in the stock market. You have no rights. They're playing games. They're opening it up to people to take their money is what they're doing. Sometimes you win. Sometimes, most of the time, you don't. Like they always say in Vegas, the house wins every time. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're counting on people like that. They don't have, there's nothing, everything's changing for the negative. There's more racism now than there was a few years ago. There's a lot of division.
Yeah, there is.
Yes. And people, you see this all the time. This is not a racist country. It is not a racist society. you have big, little pockets, but they're talking like blacks, whites. Blacks do this, whites do that. It's not like we're Americans. All Americans first. Or some, most of us are Americans. Some of them are not. This is at the front of the border. But there's all this division.
I grew up in a black family. All right, I was adopted by a black man at age 10.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, I got my brother. I got two brothers. One is mixed and one is black. I have two sisters, and they're both black. And, you know, I used to go to school, so I kind of understand this racism thing. Because when I went to Cook County Elementary in Chicago, Illinois, when I was growing up, that was a hard school to go to.
I bet.
Because there was a lot of racism going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I never did hate because of it, though. You know, I never saw the color in a person first. It's not the first thing I see. So basically, the racism that we have today is just ridiculous.
You're right.
I mean, back then, at least they had, you know, somewhat of a motive to go on as far as, you know, because they weren't allowed to buy certain particular houses. They weren't allowed to buy certain, you know, they didn't want coloreds or Mexicans or anything like that in certain communities. And that today it's a little bit different than that, you know, as far as what, you know, a black man can buy and what a white man can buy, stuff like that, you know. They did segregate people like that as far as schools and everything went. So, you know, as far as that goes, it's not that way today. Now we just got ignorant racism.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that we've gone through already in history, and we don't need to go back to it, you know. I like to look at people as a human race, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Just be, you know, be human first, and then, you know, whatever slang you want to be, you know, if you want to be Indian, or if you want to be black, or if you want to be European, or, you know, go ahead and be it. Be all you can be, you know. But don't let it, you know, don't let it get to be at the point where you're going to, you know, look at a person's color of skin and judge him by it, you know. That's just ridiculous.
I agree. Hey, Mr. Rebel, I'm going to end this program.
All right.
And this, I appreciate it. Hold on a second. I got to end the radio broadcast real quick. So here we go. Thank you for being a listener on the American Radio. We appreciate you coming. We'll see you next week. God bless America, and have a great new year. God bless America. There we go.